Our journey continues, right? Where we are exploring and learning what it actually means to follow Jesus, which, as we've said many times, has everything to do with becoming like Him. All right? We follow Him by becoming like Him. And so, you know, I really encourage you guys that if you feel like you're still not quite sure about some of this stuff, all of this is up on the website. All right? You can heavensinvasion.com, all right? Video, audio, the whole nine yards is all up there, and you can, you know, review it anytime, catch up and whatnot. You know, because I'm the most awesome teacher you ever heard. So you
yes, you are.
I think the oldest, maybe.
You made me say that.
Yes. Joking.
You
but
have
really.
You have the longest hair of anyone we know.
That's true. So I want to talk to you tonight about unclaimed treasure.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, the Lord, when I first started to get this from Him, it was like so clear that He was revealing how, for so many Christians, it's either ignorance of the treasure or an uncertainty about how to access it. All right? Jesus told this really cool little parable in Matthew 13:44. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." Right? Just picture the guy walking along, all of a sudden he's finding, whoa, what the heck is that? Realizes there's this treasure buried in the field, he covers it over and goes and sells everything to have that treasure, to buy the field and have that treasure. That's an amazing treasure, that somebody would so radically change their life, basically selling all their possessions to buy a field to get a treasure. And this is what Jesus wanted us to get, you know, to think about and be impressed by. This is a major thing, right? And so you got to ask yourself, okay, what's the treasure? He's comparing the kingdom of heaven to this treasure. Well, what is that? Well, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4 when he talks about that we have treasure in earthen vessels. What's the earthen vessel?
Me.
Exactly. We're made of dust, right? And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So this is a treasure that actually exists in us, right? That is so valuable that in this other parable, the guy sold everything so he could get it. It's valuable, right? So what is it? Well, I'm going to share with you tonight the second half of one of the most famous verses that Jesus ever spoke, right? Matthew 6:33. We've talked about this in past weeks. "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Right? We've talked about this. We talked about the whole thing of how everything gets added in the kingdom. Can I tell you that I've heard preaching on this verse almost my whole life? And I've heard it preached, "Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added." Now, they'll read the verse and it says what? "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Can I tell you, I have never heard anybody teach or preach on that phrase. Seek first His righteousness? What in the world? Why would Jesus tack that on? The kingdom, you get that, right? Because the kingdom is where the king rules. And where the king rules, it's good. It's all good. He showed us how good is. People got healed. People got set free. They got fed. Dead got raised. I mean, it was just an awesome thing when the kingdom was in view, right? But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. So what is righteousness? Any theological scholars here want to try to help me define righteousness today?
Right standing with God.
Okay, right standing with God, sure. What else?
Justification.
What does that mean, justification?
Justified.
justified through Christ. All these big theological words.
Sorry. She's asked for them.
No, it's true. You know, here's the ghetto way of understanding. Seriously, the ghetto way of understanding the word justified is
justified
never did it.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's what it means. Just to be justified means justified never sinned. Okay? God, he does that. But so that's one aspect of righteousness, right? Here's some other thoughts on it, right? When I saw this, it really kind of blew my mind. That righteousness was formally spelled right wiseness. Right wiseness. In other words, being right or just. That's the definition of righteousness. And the idea here is that everything that's right about God is His righteousness. Everything that's right about Him, right? And there's a lot that's right about God, okay? Because, see, there's complete agreement between God's character and His acts. Complete agreement between who He is and what He does. That's righteousness, okay? Now, what does this mean for you and I? Check this out. Righteousness is the state of us being where we... Let me say this right. The state of being where we are as we ought to be. That's righteousness. That you and I can get to a state where we are actually as we ought to be. The problem is most of us don't know what we ought to be so that we can get in alignment with that, right? So let's look at a couple things. You mentioned being right with God, okay? That's the vertical aspect of righteousness. How do we get right with God? Well, we know that came through the blood of Jesus, right? He paid for sin, and on our part, we believe what He did. And what did God do for Abraham when Abraham believed God, when He said, I'm going to give you a son?
It was pledged with the land.
Right. But before that, what happened when Abraham believed God, when God told him, huh? It was reckoned to him as righteousness. How about that? Right? That Abraham, basically, because he chose to believe what God said, it's just as if you never did anything wrong. I take that faith that you have put in me, and I equate that with not sinning. That's pretty awesome. But that's what God does for us, right? It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, very familiar verses, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, what does that mean?
Cross.
Yeah, right? But think about this. In your heart, you believe God, and God says, I count that as righteousness. Right? I count that as if you never sinned. But He says, that's not enough. With your mouth, you confess and it results in salvation. Does that mean you're not saved? No. You know what it means? There's just this interesting principle in the kingdom of God that the things that I believe in my mind, in my heart, don't become real to me until I speak them. Okay? My salvation is a theory until it becomes something that I speak about. It becomes something that I don't just have this idea, this mental assent, oh yes, I believe Jesus died for me. I can have that in my mind, in my heart, and God accepts that because I'm having faith in Him. But if we want to experience what God has for us, there's got to be some action on our part. Isn't that amazing? With the mouth you confess unto salvation. So that's the vertical thing. And we're not going to even talk about that tonight because that's a done deal, right? We've talked about that as well. It's a done deal. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from every sin, past, present, and future. And the moment you put your trust in Him, you become a brand new person. You become a new creation in Christ. The old's passed away. The new has come. Your old nature is dead. It's gone. It was crucified with Christ, right? So you get raised up with a new nature. That's the done deal. Okay? A lot of Christians don't even understand that, but you guys do because we've talked about it. And so when your old nature tries to come back at you and say, oh, do this, that, and the other thing, get away from me. You're dead. Okay? I don't talk to dead people.
Okay?
Pretty much. Okay?
Unless you're telling them to stand up and
Well, I'm just trying to raise him from the dead.
Raise him from the dead. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I am not raising my old nature. Okay.
I'm not that dead.
No, exactly. Right.
This is all
in Romans 6. Okay. Check it out. Romans 6 talks about how we were crucified with Christ. Right. He says in verse 11, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. Right. But here's the deal. In verse 12, he switches up a little bit. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's a lot.
I was going to say.
Right?
What?
He's saying here, don't choose to let your body be used for sin. Your members. Don't choose to let any part of you be engaged in something sinful. He's saying to us, we have a choice. We have a choice. Before you got born again, guess what? There was no choice. We just sinned because that's all we knew. Right? You couldn't make any other choice other than I'm just going to sin because I'm a sinner. Okay? Right? You don't expect a dog to act like a cat because they're not a cat. Right? We get the picture. So he's saying here, make a choice that you're not going to present or allow any part of yourself to be engaged in something sinful because you have that choice. It says, sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Okay? Can't get into that tonight. That's a big topic. But the idea is, there's a choice to be made here, right? When I'm confronted with something. Check this out. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at a long passage right now. And this is going to be I'm not going to go any further than this tonight. But I want you to see something. When Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, starting in verse 17, he's telling them, don't walk like unsaved people. Don't walk like Gentiles, right? That's the term they used back then, right? Because they're darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God. And then he goes through and talks about all these different aspects of you know, what that life was like, you know, for those that aren't saved, okay? But look what it says in verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the process that we're all in. We're all engaged in this process of being renewed in our mind so that we think and we react according to the new nature, not the old. He says, you take that old nature, you laid it aside once and for all, never to pick it up again. Okay? Put on the new self. Okay? Now, look what he says here. In verse 25, this is where I want to really bring this home for you. Okay, again, we're talking about unclaimed treasure that every single one of us has. And I've kind of taken all this time to bring us to this point. Verse 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his hands what's good, so he'll have something to share with someone who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, slander be put away from you. All of this stuff right here, okay? What's he talking about? He's talking about everyday life for all of us, because we all go through stuff every day where we're presented with a choice. I'm going to either lie to this person or I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to either get angry and pissed off at them or I'm going to treat them with love and grace. You get the picture here, right? I'm going to either speak unwholesome words or I'm going to speak words of grace. You look at all these different possibilities that are there before us, right? And so, you know, he goes on and talks about, well, in Galatians 5, this is really what I want you to see. Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? It talks about the deeds of the flesh, lists all this stuff, Galatians 5, 19 through 23 rather, right? He lists all these different things and basically says, you got a choice. So what's the unclaimed treasure? The unclaimed treasure is the nature of Christ that's in us at every single moment. And the reason why it's unclaimed is because for most of us, we haven't made that connection that says, okay, I'm in a situation right here where I could go either way. Okay? And what we're learning is that because he gave us that choice, the unclaimed treasure that I have in my heart is the fact that I can do what he does. That I can be as he is, right? We talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. As he is in the world, so also are we. And so this unclaimed treasure that's inside of me is the fullness of his nature, the fullness of his righteousness. It's basically the fact that you and I have access to the right thing every time. We have access to do what God would do, to do the right thing that God would do in that situation. We got access to that. That's not an impossibility. That's not something that's so far out there that we'll never attain to it. It's in us. It's treasure that we've been given in this earthen vessel, which says to me, okay, yeah, I'm in a situation right now. And you know, just think about the last situation that you dealt with, right? Where you were confronted with a choice as to how you were going to react, right? We're all there. This is every day that we deal with this. And the good news that the Lord is bringing to us tonight is I am going to give you the ability in that situation to stop and say, okay, hold up. I know what you would do, Jesus. And because you're in me, I can choose that and I can do that because we're one. That's the treasure. And he's saying, don't let it lie unclaimed anymore. Right? Be willing to give up whatever you need to so that you have that in your life, so you can live out that in your life and watch me watch me do stuff in the lives of the people around you that it's going to blow your mind. Right? Why? Because basically, I've just learned how to get myself in line with who I really am. Right? Because why? I still have in my mind the memories of how I reacted in those situations in the past. Okay? And so that's what we're dealing with. That's the renewal process that we're in, is recognizing the memories, the old habit patterns that, you know, are there that don't have to be. They don't have to be. Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ right now. You know, the old things have passed away. Now, for some of us, those patterns became so ingrained because of our circumstances and our situations and our experiences, they became so ingrained that they broke us. That there's a breakage, there's a problem. That try as we might, we seem like we can't make the choice. What does that mean? Time to get some help. Time to humble yourself and say, I for whatever reason, when I'm confronted with the possibility of change and choice, I just can't seem to make the right choice. Okay? If that's where you're at, it's no shame. It just means get the help that's available. You know? There are people that have giftings in counseling and setting people free and all kinds of stuff. Point is, are you willing to sell everything you got to get the treasure and have it operate in your life every single day? Right? What's the cost to you in order for you to have that experience where you represent Him and really represent who you are, that you are as you ought to be?